Hello and welcome to Curie, your dedicated source for curated medical insights. I'm Matt, and today we'll be exploring three pivotal developments in oncology focusing on advancements that are reshaping patient care. We'll delve into the updated ASCO guidelines for advanced ovarian cancer, the promising results of the MAMMO 50 study on less frequent mammographic surveillance, and the exciting progress in targeted therapies for NRG1 fusion-positive cancers. Let's get started. First up, ASCO updates treatment guidance for newly diagnosed advanced ovarian cancer. ASCO has released updated guidelines for newly diagnosed advanced ovarian cancer and introducing changes in patient selection and treatment strategies. The changes reflect emerging evidence on racial disparities, treatment outcomes, and quality of life considerations. The publication of the new guidance follows dramatic shifts in treatment patterns over the past decade. There had been a big shift in how we were treating patients in the United States, explains Stephanie Gaylard, MD, PhD, one of the authors of the updated guidelines. We saw a substantial drop in the number of patients undergoing primary cytoreductive surgery for ovarian cancer from about 70% of patients in 2010 to only about 37% in 2021. The new guidelines maintain the recommendation for platinum/taxane-based neoadjuvant chemotherapy, but introduce modifications regarding timing and duration. It's still a recommendation that gynecologic oncologists are involved in determining whether someone is eligible for primary cytoreductive surgery or should undergo neoadjuvant chemotherapy first, Gaylard noted. We emphasize that patients who are eligible for primary cytoreductive surgery should undergo surgery as opposed to receiving neoadjuvant chemotherapy. Alexander Melamed, MD, MPH, a gynecologic oncologist at Massachusetts General Hospital Boston, who was not involved in authoring the updated guidelines, noted that additional evidence-based guidance is needed to individualize treatment plans. He pointed to four completed trials comparing neoadjuvant chemotherapy with cytoreductive surgery, noting, "When these trials have been pulled together in meta-analyses, there was a higher risk of mortality associated with primary cytoreductive surgery, and a higher risk of severe complications. The updated guidelines take this higher risk for mortality with primary cytoreductive surgery into consideration, and patients who are not eligible for primary surgery would receive neoadjuvant chemotherapy," Gaylard noted. Moving on, the results of a multi-center randomized phase 3 MAMMO 50 study conducted in the UK demonstrate non-inferiority of less frequent mammograms compared with annual mammographic surveillance among women aged 50 years or older at initial diagnosis of breast cancer who are recurrence-free at 3 years post-diagnosis. The findings could have a large impact globally because many women are currently offered annual mammograms indefinitely, which puts a burden both on healthcare systems and on the patients in terms of increased radiation exposure, raised anxiety, and higher out-of-pocket costs. According to Prof. Janet A. Dunn of the Warwick Clinical Trials Unit, University of Warwick in Coventry, UK, and colleagues, who published the findings on 1 February 2025 in The Lancet, the authors wrote in the background that mammographic surveillance helps detect new primary breast cancers or recurrence. The early detection of local recurrence is associated with improved survival. Survival is better when local recurrence is found by mammography instead of physical examination and in patients who are asymptomatic compared with those who are symptomatic. Local regional recurrences have become less common in recent years, suggesting that modern surgical practice and systemic therapy have been effective in preventing local recurrence. One of the strongest predictors of local recurrence is young age. Women aged 50 years or younger have poorer outcomes when local recurrence occurs compared with women older than 50 years. The reduction in local recurrence rates over the past decade, the low recurrence rate, and the prolonged lead time of screening in older women raise the possibility of safe de-escalation of mammographic surveillance in this patient population. Lastly, zenocutuzumab shows efficacy in patients with advanced NRG1 fusion-positive cancers. In a registrational, multinational, phase 2 ENRG study, zenocutuzumab, a bispecific antibody against HER2 and HER3, showed durable anti-tumor activity in patients with NRG1 fusion-positive cancers, notably non-small cell lung cancer and pancreatic cancer. Responses were observed across multiple fusion partners. This study targeted cancers with this rare genomic alteration, a population enriched for cancer types with limited effective treatment options. The findings validate NRG1 fusions as an actionable therapeutic target, according to Dr. Allison M. Schramm of the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, U.S., and colleagues who published the findings on 5 February 2025 in the New England Journal of Medicine. The authors wrote in the background that NRG1 fusions occur in less than 1% of solid tumors, are enriched in invasive mucinous adenocarcinoma of the lung and KRAS, wild cow pancreatic cancer, and are oncogenic in vivo. In vitro and in vivo. Chimeric NRG1 fusion proteins bind to HER3 through an EGF-like binding domain, triggering HER2-HER3 heterodimerization and activation of downstream growth and proliferation signaling pathways. These updates offer valuable insights for healthcare professionals, highlighting the dynamic nature of oncology research and its implications for patient care. As new discoveries emerge and treatment strategies evolve, how can healthcare systems best adapt to ensure equitable access to these advancements for all patients? If you enjoyed this episode, come back to the Curie app for more in-depth medical insights. If you are listening on a public platform, you can download the Curie app from the App Store to access our full library of content.